When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signals, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, that line horns on the right, babe! Not that Mackey's back in town.
Look out, old Mackey's back.
Yeah, why not?
Chris McMichael.
Is it Monday already?
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. The Fan. McMonagle here with you as per usual. I got you till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. Alex on the other side, we got you. 888-808-1019 888-808-1019 on this Monday morning, the first day of July. That's right. Already the first day of July. Flying by. Kids got camp. I'm already switching to summer hours. Sweating like a pig. Yeah, Marash, I turn down a hot dog occasionally, you bum. All right. How we doing on this Monday morning? Because we've got two baseball teams. Both of them, it seems like we got two new trends. The Mets lost their first series in a month, and the Yankees didn't lose a series for the first time in a month. It's crazy. Hopefully they can put June behind him, except for the Yankees at least, and except for Aaron Judge, of course, who's just a monster. We're going to get to Judge and how he's 1 point behind Rengifo, who I wanted the Yankees to trade for. 1 point behind Rengifo from being the current Triple Crown candidate, as he is just a beast. Why they continue to pitch to him, I have no idea. Even in the first inning, what are you doing? Don't even throw it to him. The guy's a monster. But we'll start with the Mets as... For the first time now, since Grimace, since the meeting, since what I really deem, and you know my opinion's all that matters, at least from 1 to 5 this morning, my turning point of the season has been the J.D. Martinez home run against the Marlins. That walk-off home run that stopped them from losing that series, kept the momentum that they built with that last game in Philadelphia, the Washington sweep. There was momentum being built there, and if they would have lost that game and lost that series to the lowly Marlins, I don't know if this all plays out the same. But since that moment, this team has been unbelievable. The offense has been absolutely dynamic, and you're still seeing signs of it, whether it's coming from behind in this game, whether it's getting out to the 6-run lead in the second game of this series against the Astros. But what's killed them is what is their obvious weakness, two-pronged weakness to their pitching. Because as good as their starting pitching has been, as good as Luis Severino has been, and, you know, for the most part, as good as Manaea has been, and as surprising as overall the starting rotation has been, what the one thing they don't do, even on their good days, is get deep into games. The New York Mets, now, Quintana has had his moments up and down, sure. McGill already out of the rotation. I'm not saying it's perfect. But for the most part, heading into this season, heading into what we expected to be this sort of try and compete while building the franchise up, the starting rotation was going to be the glaring weakness. They added some additions in the bullpen. The lineup was supposed to carry them. But this rotation was clearly going to be their weakness, especially with Senga missing. And he's missed way more time than anyone expected. And yet they've been able to cover you on some aspects. They've pitched far better. Severino looks like his old self. Maybe not striking out as many guys over the course of the year, but still looking pretty damn good. Manaea's had a bounce back year from what he's been over the last couple. Even Peterson comes back and he's relatively okay, striking out the 3 in a row against the Yankees. I know that in the first to avoid a bases loaded jam, but even at their best, this group doesn't get deep into games. And right now, this bullpen, and a lot because of injuries, whether it's Reed Foley, Brooks Raley, Drew Smith now, and now Diaz being gone. And this was the first time in this stretch where you could really see the absence of Diaz along with the other injuries and just the ineffectiveness of Diekman and Reed Garrett to throw strikes. I mean, Reed Garrett went from one of the best relievers in baseball, one of the talking points of the season, the feel-good story of the year for the Mets, as Reed Garrett's established himself as this all-world reliever. He's completely fallen off the face of the earth. I mean, he can't throw a strike. Diekman's been terrible. Ottavino, off to a good start this year, has been miserable now for a month. And this bullpen is clearly the weakness of a team that, since whatever moment you want to choose, since, oh my God, and we'll get to that in a second. I did speak to you guys yesterday morning, so I gave you my take on that. But I'll give it to you again here on a Monday morning. But whatever moment you deem where this team turned it around, and I still believe in this team. I don't think this is, I mean, we're going to find out, right? Because it's always about the bounce back. It's always about the bounce back. Whether it was the bounce back of losing that first game after the long winning streak against Texas and how they were going to bounce back against the Cubs in Imanaga, and they answered that question in resounding fashion. And now having lost their first series to the Astros, who are the only team hotter than them in the month of June, who are now obviously with the pedigree of a champion and a pedigree of a team that's owned both the decade and the American League, they have finally established themselves and started to bounce back and do what they do and figure out ways to win games, even though they're dealing with some injuries and their starting pitching is still kind of a mess. But the lineup is starting to come around. So you lost to the hottest team in baseball, right? You were the hottest team in baseball. You lost to the hottest team in baseball. It's a frustrating way to lose it, especially with your bullpen in really disarray and getting, you know, blowing a 6-1 lead and then giving up 5 runs in the ninth. I mean, you got the newest Met, Matt Festa, out there to take the brunt of it in the 11th inning. And this game was really lost when they couldn't score more runs in the 10th. You have to win the game right then and there. You get the Nimmo double to tie the game in the 10th. You have got to figure out a way. You have to figure out a way. And for all of you, you know, I know you Yankee haters and everything, where's the bunt? You ever notice that? Nobody bunts in extra innings. It's not just the Yankees. Nobody bunts. But they have to figure out a way to get that run there because you know where this bullpen is. They are not going to get through the rest of that game. You don't, maybe not 5 runs you're expecting, but the bullpen is in such a way right now, and the offense has been able to outslug all of the other issues. Whether it is the starters not going deep enough, whether it is this bullpen, whatever it's been, this offense has been on such a run that you've been able to outslug, outscore, outdominate any issue you might have had. And for the first time these last two games, the main issue of this team, especially without Diaz during the streak, and it's amazing he got through the first handful of games without having it come up and bite you. And yet you knew when he got suspended, you knew when he came in and with all that gook on his hands, you knew that was going to be a severe penalty. You knew 10 games without him in the state, I think you lost Reed Foley that same day. And then Drew Smith gets hurt pretty much in that game. So you knew the bullpen was going to be an issue for this team. And yet they still kind of slugged their way through it up until Friday night. And now it has come back to bite them. And as this ownership and as David Stearns is going to try and figure out what to do moving forward, them along with every other freaking team who's got to compete, put the Yankees on that list as well. Every other team that wants to add, every other team that's looking to contend, every other team that wants to win, every other team that's going to try and better themselves for the stretch run, they're going to be looking for bullpen help. And what's fascinating is this idea of the sell and buy at the same time. And I have a real problem with it. I have a real problem with the idea that the Met fan thinks, or that this group thinks, that Stearns thinks, as I'm seeing it over and over again, the idea that they have this plethora or this depth at the starting in the starting pitching because Budo and Christian Scott, who are clearly just, you know, proven winners, that because of the depth in this rotation, that they can still trade away a Severino or they can trade away a Manaea or whoever else. Specifically Severino, to help this bullpen. I mean, it's going to come down to how much this team really and how much Stearns and this ownership group believes in Stearns, believes in this team. Because if I truly believe in this team, if I've watched this team play over the last month, and I've watched the way they've played, and I've watched the way this offense has responded, and I know they're in dire straits for some bullpen help. Now, you'll see if Diaz comes back and at least helps it a little bit. I mean, he was back to his old ways, but obviously now the whole, did he need the sticky stuff to get back? I mean, he's terrible. He gets hurt. He spends time in the minor leagues. He comes back. Suddenly he's pitching like his old self again, and he gets banged a couple of relief appearances in. The question is, well, obviously, was he trying to get an edge? Did he need the sticky stuff to get the movement back and the feel for his pitches back? Or did he work it out in the minor leagues, just need some time away, whatever the case may be? But the question is, if you are confident in this group, and I think the next, as you look forward here, this four-game set and this seven, eight-game road trip against the Nationals and the Pirates, who they're competing with in the National League wildcard, and you follow it up by a homestand against the Nationals as well. I mean, you're playing the Nationals seven times in the next 11 games. This stretch right here before the All-Star break will tell you what you need to know. And if this team continues to play like this, and the only glaring weakness is that your starting rotation doesn't go deep enough and that your bullpen's a mess, I don't know how, if they continue to play this way and the offense shows you what it shows you and Vientos keeps doing what he's doing and Nimmo, who's been hot, and Lindor, who gets on base every other time to lead off the game, he's been incredible since they moved him to the top of the order. If you believe in this group, don't give me this nonsense that I can kind of play this half-assed game of buying and selling. It's one or the other. Do you believe in this group enough to change your thought process, not hoard all these prospects that you believe in, that you're going to build a sustained winning culture, and or are you going to feed that beast, believe in it, allow Stearns to build this team the way he built it in Milwaukee, have his fingerprints all over it, be a David Stearns type team, let him figure out how he wants to build it, bring back prospects, or hold on to the ones you've got, or do you trade prospects to try and get a reliever? I'm not giving up Severino, who's their best starting pitcher, in the name of I've got depth? In the name of I have Senga coming back? When? And what is he going to look like? And how long will he be back? You can't act like you have answers to these questions. You can't act like Scott is some sort of guaranteed guy to come back into this rotation and perform. I am not. If I believe in this team, and if they show me, and look at the rest of the National League. Look at who they're competing with. They're competing with the Nationals. They're competing with the Pirates. They're competing with the Reds. They're competing with the Cardinals. Look at these teams. All right, yes, they're competing with the Dodgers. They're competing with the Phillies. They're competing with the Braves. For a championship, that's who they're competing with. But we've seen, whether it's the Diamondbacks, and I give you, you know me, I love my MLB playoffs or a crapshoot. I got it tattooed somewhere on me. I'll leave it up to your imagination. But MLB playoffs is a crapshoot. And if I believe in this group, I'm not robbing Peter to pay Paul. I am not taking away from my rotation so I can bolster my bullpen, or I feel better about bolstering my bullpen because I've acquired assets from my starting rotation. I'm not doing it. I'm not letting Severino walk out this door. He's the only guy I fully trust to maybe give me some depth, give me a dominant performance. Where else are you getting it from? The postseason series, what's he getting? You get into a wild card series. Who's starting game one right now? You think you got depth to show me the game one starter? I don't. So it comes down to brass tacks. What do you think about this team? Is the last month a bit of an aberration and the offense has just been too impressive and it can't sustain itself, and ultimately you've had a plan and this hasn't shown you enough to divert from it? Or do things change, especially in a New York market, like Stern said, and you have no choice but to sell off some of your pieces inside your farm system to go get what you need to bolster this team? Because I'll tell you right now, if the next 2 weeks against the Nationals, the Pirates, the Nationals, and the Rockies go the way it's gone, and they beat up on these teams the way they've beat up on these teams for the last month, and they put themselves 5-6 games over 500 heading into the All-Star break, coming out to a four-game series in Miami against the Marlins, there's only one thing to do. And that's never have another concert at Citi Field ever again. What are you people, nuts? That was the worst thing I've ever seen. But there's nothing else to do but add and bolster this bullpen. And yes, let's get to it real quick, because I know that's the talking point. I even listened to Evan's Rico Bronya for half a second, and that's what he's yelling about. Everyone's going to blame the concert. Everyone's going to blame the concert. Who cares? First off, who cares? You lost 2 out of 3 to the hottest team in baseball. You didn't blow this. You haven't blown all your goodwill. Yes, you're now a game under 500. And yes, you've lost 2 games since what I deem to be the ridiculous music video that was shot at Citi Field the other night. Yeah, it was dumb. There's no other way to put it. And here's the other thing, too. If you're going to be like Evan and I'll say, oh, it has nothing to do with it. We shouldn't blame that. It's so stupid. It's so silly. You can't have it both ways. You can't go on and on about Grimace. You can't wear the Grimace outfit out in the outfield. You can't wear it throughout the stands. You can't have Grimace chugging beers during a rain delay and get all hopped up on your Grimace takes and your OMG song takes and have all this fun. And then when people get on you for going over the top and putting out a ridiculous concert Friday night, watching it on Apple TV, watching him lip sync his song, watching Pete Alonso clap off beat, watching the entire team at the mound giving a concert. If you want to embrace the oddities, if you want to have the fun, if you want to wrap yourself in the Grimace story and the music story, when you do something like that and it follows by 2 losses and typical Met losses, well, you got to eat it. That's it. You want to make it about Grimace? If you want to make it about Grimace, if you want every question in the postgame to be about Grimace, if you want fans in there drinking beers, chugging beers in a Grimace costume during the rain delay, if it's about Grimace, then it's about Grimace. If it's about the song, it's about the song. And when you lose, it's about who let the dogs out. That's how it works. It's all nonsense. And that's why I didn't like the Grimace thing. That's why I've been the anti-fun police with this Met team the entire time. Not because I'm an anti-Met. Quite the opposite. I'm positive New York Mets. I'm anti-silly stories that take attention away from the offense and take attention away from what this team's been doing. Who cares about Grimace? Wear a Lindor jersey or a Nimmo jersey and get drunk during the rain delay. Ask questions about how Alvarez has changed the team. Or how Vientos, you can't get him out. But then they do hokey stuff. That concert, we all know it was ridiculous. I did this yesterday. I was on yesterday a little bit from 3 to 7. And I was getting calls from Met fans who thought it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was. It has nothing to do with why they lost, nor does Grimace have anything to do with they win. But if you're going to make it of all about fun, you're going to have to eat it when the fun comes back to bite you. But ultimately, I believe in this team. And I think what we are going to see over the next 2 weeks is going to have a major impact, obviously, on what this general manager does. And the last thing I would want to see is this BS, eat, have your cake and eat it too, trade away some pieces where you think there's depth. All right, listen, let me tell you, as a Yankee fan, I thought they had outfield depth. I thought they had Stanton. I thought they had Dominguez. We were all praising. Oh, look at how this team's completely different. Look at all the depth they have. They have Grisham on the bench. He never plays. We got Dominguez waiting to come back. How quickly depth can change. You either go for it or you don't. You don't half-ass it. And I'm hearing way too much about that being a plausible possibility. It's stupid. Go for it. Trade your prospects. Or don't. And just let it hang out. Trust your bullpen. See if Diaz comes back to being one of the best relievers in baseball like he was 2 years ago. And take your chances. But I can't. When they look like one of the most dangerous teams in the National League, I can't trade Severino because I have Senga coming back. I can't trade these guys because possibly I could just throw Scott and Budo in there like they're some sort of proven commodity. I'd rather transition one of those guys to the bullpen than necessarily trade away Severino and replace him. I like this team too much. I'm impressed with this team too much. They've got one glaring weakness. Go out there and fix it. Don't open up more weaknesses to do it. And yeah, don't put on stupid concerts. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees as well. As Gleyber Torres has awoken, DJ LeMahieu looks different. And I know it's a last place team, but at least getting getting a road split of a four-game series, scoring a bunch of runs, watching Gleyber come alive, and I've been telling you about Gleyber and how important he is, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, how important Gleyber is to this team. I've never wavered from that. I don't think he's going anywhere. Gleyber Torres is the New York Yankees second baseman, ride or die the rest of this year. That's going to be the case. I've never felt differently. They're not going to trade him away now. They're not going to get a better second baseman in here. They're not going to get any value for him. He's staying here. He's the second baseman. Why? Because he's capable of getting multiple hits in three consecutive days. The guy had an 800 OPS last year. They are not giving up on Gleyber Torres for the likes of Oswaldo Cabrera. It's not going to happen. And to watch him is... him and LeMahieu actually come through, show some emotion. The whole team shows some emotion. We'll get to the Stroman stuff and how that entire game felt and how much it felt like they needed some sort of intensity